In Parshas Re'e, we want to look at Perek Yudalid, which is the Perek of Kashrus. The Torah begins this Parsha by telling us, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, etc., etc., Ki Am Kadosh Hashem Atol L'Hashem Elokecha, B'chol Bochar Hashem Li Yosolam, Skula Mikolam, Tre Adon, Lo Sochal Kol To'eva. And in this Lo Sochal Kol To'eva, we have here a prohibition against eating any abomination, but the Torah hasn't specified what is that abomination. And the Ramban is bothered by this. Says the Ramban, Hine rotza lahosif biur b'machalim asurim. The Torah wants to add some sort of embellishment with regard to the topic of machalas asurim, forbidden foods. Lokach omar lo sochal kol to'eva. Why did the Torah begin this parasha and introduce it by saying, you shall not eat any abomination? Lahagid ki kol hanesorim nisavim lenefesh hatohorim. The Torah wants to convey in this introduction a very new and fundamental idea that Macholas Asuras, which we've already learned about in Perek Yud Aleph of Sefer Vayikra, but now they are repeated in great detail, these are repulsive. Repulsive, he says, nisavim, to'eva, which means something that's a to'eva, is absolutely repulsive, lenefesh hatahora, to the pure soul. In other words, the Torah right here, before it goes into an elaboration of all the specifics that we learned already in Vayikra, the Torah now wants to tell us that everything that we are forbidden from eating is abominable, which means it's repulsive, and repulsive to the soul. So again, we're not talking about physical health at this point. We'll see that maybe later. But here we're talking about repulsiveness to the soul. And everything that's forbidden is included in this overall presentation, this introduction of repulsiveness to the soul. Says the Ramban, the inyan called ti'uv, and the idea that's expressed in the word, in this word, let's say the root of the word is taf ayin bet, which means sina umiyu, something loathsome and repulsive. And he quotes a pasuk in Divrei Yomim, ki nisav dvar hamelech kol ochel sesayiv nafshon. The king's command was abhorrent. Their soul was abhorred. Their soul abhorred all food, is a pasuk in Tehillim. Ki amacholam asurim agasim yolidu ovi vatimus banefesh, says the Ramban, and this is Ramban's famous shita, that all forbidden foods engender a certain ovi, a certain gas, a certain coarseness. Vatimus benefesh. They obstruct the soul, so to speak. And therefore they're repulsive to the soul. Kasher is karati b'mkomo, as I mentioned earlier in Sefer Shmos and Perek Chav Beis, V'alkein omar od kol of tohar tochelu, the Torah adds another phrase and says that we should eat the clean birds. And the question is, why did the Torah feel it necessary to tell us to eat the clean birds, and yet the Torah hasn't specified which are the clean birds? Says the Ramban, Lahagid ki Ela Asher Osar Nisavim, this is a process of elimination here. The Torah wants to tell us, teach us, that those birds that are prohibited are Nisavim, as we said before, are vulgar, they're repulsive, they're abominable. And Vashar, and therefore by process of elimination, all the rest are Tahorim Uru'uyim Lenefesh Tahora. They are pure and appropriate for a pure soul. Now, what we want to discuss here is the consistency of the Ramban. If you take a look, for example, in Vayikra Yud Aleph that we mentioned earlier with regard to the prohibition against eating non-kosher birds, the Ofos Tmeim, the Ramban has this same idea. Or if you look in Parshas Akrimos, in Vayikra Yud Aleph, so it's not just Shmini, it's also Nachimos, with regard to the Isur Achilas Dam, you will find the Rabban reflecting the same idea that Macholos Asuros are Pogame, the Nefesh HaAdam, the soul of man. And if you look later on in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshas Ki Teitze, in Perek Chav Beis, the Ramban says that the ultimate purpose of the prohibitions against forbidden foods is liyosenu nekiye hanefesh, because we are pure and refined souls. Chachamim, we are wise. Maskilia emes, we know the truth. If you look, for example, in Parshas Kedoshim, in Vayikra Yutes, with regard to the Isur of eating Arla, the Ramban says, Va'emes hadover od ki hapri bitchilas netias eilonos rav lachus dovek ma'od mazik l'gufe nenu tov la'ochla. We hinted before that the Ramban has two different elements in forbidden foods. He's got the forbidden foods as antithetical to the nefesh nikia of a person, the soul that's clean and pure, that sensitivity of the soul. But he also mentions a health issue, and here he spells it out in Parshas Kedoshim when he says that the fruits that came out on the tree in the first 3 years are mazik leguf, kidag she'elo kaskeses, and he equates it to, number one, a fish that doesn't have scales, and number two, in general, he makes a general universal statement that everything which is forbidden by the Torah is antithetical to one's health. So we have now a diuk in the Ramban, which when he says he means in addition to the nefesh, they're also detrimental to the body. And if you look in the Ramban in Parsha Shmini with regard to the Ofel Shein and Tahorim, the Ramban there also follows the same line of reasoning. You'll see this also in the Ramban in Dogim Shein and Tahorim, and in the Ramban with regard to the Isur Chelev at the beginning of Vayikra and Vayikra Perek Gimel. At the end of the day, the Ramban holds that we have to be very careful about what we eat in order to achieve a Shlemus of perfection, which incorporates both the guf and the nefesh. And we know of stories of people, there were even stories in our time, in contemporary time. You'll see Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein tells these stories about people who couldn't understand why is it that they cannot focus in learning, they cannot achieve in Torah learning. And they finally attributed to Macholos Asuros, you know, some lack of care about what we eat. And here the Ramban is going to analyze the pasuk Ki Am Kadosh Ata Lashem Elokecha, which is a little bit further here in Parshas Re'eh. We're going to fast forward to pasuk Chaf Aleph, which is a reflection on the Iser Nevela, Lo Soklu Kol Nevela, and the Ramban is going to tell us about Ki Am Kadosh Ata Hashem Elokech Lo Svashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo. The Ramban is of the opinion that the words Ki Am Kadosh Ata Hashem Elokech, which are in the middle here, sandwiched as it were between Lo Soklu Kol Nevela at the beginning of the Pasuk and Lo Svashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo at the end of the pasuk, says the Ramban v'tam, and the explanation Ki Am Kadosh Ata Hashem Elokecha Dovek is referring back to, or fast forward to, Lo Savashel Im Lo Savashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo Ki Einenu Machol Nisaf. The reason why the Torah feels compelled to give some sort of explanation that underlies the east of the prohibition of Lo Savashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, why not just fall back on the introduction that we saw before of Lo Soklu Kol Toeva, says Rabban Ki Einenu Machol Nisav, because the meat that's cooked in milk is not an abominable food. It doesn't fall under Toeva, and therefore we need this holiness that a person, since he belongs to the nation of Israel, Am Kadosh Atol Hashem Elokecha, he's got to be careful about holiness. and that extra element of holiness in this Am Kadosh is going to engender the prohibition against eating basar b'chalav. The ratio of this pasuk, lo solcha kol neveil, apparently fits under lo solcha kol to'eva, the carcass of an animal that died without shechita is an abomination. And the Rabban has already pointed this out earlier. However, with regard to basar b'chalav, the prohibition is a reflection of our special holiness. We are very kadosh with regard to food, and in abstaining from certain foods, even if they're not abominable, we achieve and reflect a level of holiness of kedusha. That's why, of course, the Rambam has the laws of Macholas Asuris in Sefer Kedusha. And now the Ramban offers a slightly different shot. He says, Oli Osenu Kedoshim Shlonia Am Achzori Lo Yirachameh, that the Isur Bas B'cholav is because it engenders within us a certain element of cruelty in our personality. The Midah of Kedusha is antithetical to Achzorios, to the Midah of cruelty. If we were to milk the cow, the mother, and then take that milk and cook it together with the gedi, if we take the pasuk literally at this level, the offspring of the mother, that would engender within us a level of cruelty. The afalpi shekol basar Becholav Ikares Balav Hazed. The Ramban realized that this explanation of the Isur Basar B'chalav, the underlying reason of which is to take us away from the Achzoris of taking the mother's milk and cooking it with the baby's flesh, he says that doesn't really bear out halachically, because every case of cooking meat in milk is included in this prohibition. It doesn't have to be the meat of the baby. Kikol meinika tikare aim v'chol yonek nikra gidi. He says every nursing female animal is called an aim in this context. And that's how we know that we're not specifically talking about the mother and its gidi. And kol yonek nikra gidi. Every animal that suckles is called a kid, a gedi. So any combination of meat and milk is forbidden, even if the milk is not from the kid's own mother. So the cruelty reason which the Ramban presents is not applicable in this case. But nevertheless, the Ramban still thinks that this might be the yisod of the Isur, according to the second pshat, v'uder habishul. And the Ramban adds that the prohibition of meat and milk applies to derech bishul, the normal manner of cooking meat and milk. So for example, if you cook a piece of meat, we don't usually go searching for the animal's mother, for the milk of the animal's mother. So the word mother here and the word gedi in our context is not literally the mother and the gedi. Vihine, but nevertheless, bekulam achzorius. There still is an element of achzorius. You're taking the milk of a nursing female, and what you're doing with it is you're using to cook an animal. That itself is a little bit cruel, because the milk of a nursing female is the source of sustenance for the babies who will drink that milk, and now you're using that milk to cook an animal. So that reflects a certain element of cruelty or achzorius. But in any event, what we have in front of us here, according to the Ramban, is what we could call idun hanefesh, the refinement of the soul. We call it atzilut in modern Hebrew, which engenders an obligation upon us to behave in a very specific way, not cooking milk and meat together. And this is what the Ibn Ezra writes back in Parshas in Sefer Shmos, I mean, when he says that Lo Sevashal Gdi B'Chalevimo Ulai Hayaki Achzorius Lev Levashal Gdi Im Chalav Imo. And to embellish this, the Ibn Ezra gives the example of Shar Ose Oso V'Aspinolo Sishchetu. We don't shecht the parent and the child on the same day. Or, for example, he gives the case of Losikacha Emal of Bonim, where we don't take the fledglings away from its mother in the presence of the mother bird. And all this is to reveal to us, whether it's the Ramban or the Ibn Ezra, the depths and the sensitivity, the yashrus, the Torah wants us to be good. The Torah wants our nefesh to be nefesh nekiya. We should be uplifted by engaging in rachamim, in acts of kindness and compassion. And that's why the whole parasha of Melchama, as we've mentioned many times, is very complicated, because on the one hand, it's a great, awesome mitzvah Melchama to protect the Jewish nation, but on the other hand, we need a special bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that this Melchama doesn't engender within us a certain element of cruelty. That could have been a natural but catastrophic repercussion of Melchama. And the Ramban in Parashas Ki Tetzeh, when he speaks about Tamei HaMitzvos in general, he writes, Limnoa Mimenu Hezek, that Hashem wants to prevent us from anything that could be detrimental, or emunara, or whether it be a false belief, or mida maguna, or some sort of repulsive behavior pattern or attribute. And the tzivui of Lo Sevashal Gdi V'Chalev Imo should be seen within this context. And it really opens up a window for us to the entire understanding of the Ratzon Hashem, which is inherent in a deeper way in the mitzvos. And Hashem wants us to cathartically purify our nefesh, to uplift it, to straighten it out in yashrus for the purpose of ultimate good, and to cleanse it and remove from it all dross of midos megunos, of machshavas ros. The ultimate goal is, as the Ramban says in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, is that we achieve the level of nekiyei hanefesh chachomim maskilei hadas. Now, I would like to fast forward to the next section here in the same chapter. And here, the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of Maaser Sheni. And the Torah says, V'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha b'mokom asher yivchar l'shakin shmo sham maaser degon chotiroshkom yitzrecha, etc., etc. And the Ramban and the Torah finishes this up with the explanation of Laman Tilmad Lira es Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayom, which means we have to learn fear of Hashem all the days. Now, how is it that the Sefer justifies or explains the Reisha? In the Reisha of this pasuk, the Torah says, now, how does that come to express Laman Tilmad Liras Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayomim? And the Ramban adds a very, very important insight here. The Ata, he says, now, Bier, the Torah is explaining, Ki Hu Yechayev La'aser Kol Tvua Zar'acha. And now in this pasuk, Moshe elaborates, one is required to take Maaser from the entire crop, Kol Tvuas Zaro, all of his planted grains. And this, of course, is codified by the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, in Mitzvah Sase Kuf Chaf Zayin. And yet the Rambam sees this as a mitzvah with regard to Maaser Rishon. The Ramban there, in his critique on the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, is going to insists that we're talking about Maiser Sheni. Let's see how the Ramban formulates this. He says, "V'sheyochal oso hu atzmo bonav lifnei Hashem leman yilmad liras Hashem." It's quite clear, says the Ramban, that we're talking about Maiser Sheni because one has to eat it, him, himself, and his children, before Hashem in Yerushalayim. And the Ramban says, why? Laman Yilmad es Hashem. Yiras Hashem, that he should learn to fear Hashem. In other words, it's clear that the subject here of our mitzvah is Maiser Sheni, that has to be eaten with Lifnei Hashem in Yerushalayim to instill fear of God. And as we'll see in the Hemshek, the Ramban is going to explain how it is that bringing Maiser Sheni to Yerushalayim is going to instill within us fear of Hashem. In any event, the Ramban would say the following, that the discussion here about Aser Ti Aser, which is the opening two words in Pasuk Chaf Beis, is referring to Maiser Sheni, and even though it's already been mentioned in Vayikra, nevertheless, the Torah wants to emphasize it here in Parshas Re'eh, and clearly not a reference here to Maisa that's given to the Levim, because the Maisa that's given to the Levim, Bo Nemar, V'achaltem Oso B'chol Makom, the Torah tells us explicitly in Sefer Bamidbar, in Perek Yud Ches, that you're allowed to eat that Maiser anywhere, for Huchulin, it has no din of Kedusha. And why would there be a need to be Podeh? We have a din of redemption with regard to something that has Kedusha, that has Hegdesh to it. If we're referring to Maiser Rishon here in this context, there would be no need for Pediah because there's no Kedusha. Maiser Rishon is not considered Kedusha. It doesn't have to be eaten in a certain way or in a certain place. It is pure chulin. So therefore the Ramban insists that the mitzvah here of Aser Ti Aser is a reference to Maiser Sheni. Not like Maiser Rishon, which is Achal Temos V'chol Mokom, but rather Maiser Sheni, to which the Torah requires V'achaltem Lifnei Hashem V'mokom Asher Yivchar L'shaken Shmo Sham. How does the Ramban understand Laman Yilmad Liras Hashem? Says the Ramban, Ki HaKohanim V'ashoftim HaOmdim Sham. So we have the Kohanim who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash. We have the Shoftim who are located in the Lishkas HaGozis outside the Beis HaMikdash, Morei HaTorah, those who teach Torah, Yilamdu, they will teach those who bring their portion to Yerushalayim to eat, Yir Oso, the fear of Hashem, V'yoru HaTorah V'amitzvah. And not only will they teach the fear of Hashem, they will instruct the individual with regard to the Torah and its commandments. In other words, learning fear of Hashem means that we study Torah and we understand its mitzvahs. And that we do when we come close and have access to be within the, shall we say, the four cubits in close proximity to the Kohanim and the Shoftim HaOmdim Sham. So this is a very, very important Ramban, because the Torah is telling us that Maiser Sheni, which has to be brought, by the way, on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the seven-year cycle, that means 4 out of 7 years we have a chiv to bring Maiser Sheni, and that's going to force us to go up to Yerushalayim, and there we're going to study Torah. We're going to be uplifted and inspired in Yerushalayim by studying Torah from the great teachers of Torah, from the Kohanim and the Shoftim. And again, this is in addition to the obligation to be Ola Regel three times a year, which again will bring us to Yerushalayim HaKodesh, to the proximity of the Kohanim and the Shoftim, but nevertheless, through Maaser, it's going to be even more powerful, because keep in mind that 10% of the produce is dedicated for Maaser Sheni. And if he's very wealthy, he's going to have, Baruch Hashem, he has a bracha from Hashem, he's going to bring a massive amount of food, or through pidyon, through redemption, money to buy food in Yerushalayim, can I get 1/10 of his produce? No, he's going to have to spend some time in Yerushalayim, an extended visit. It's not like, Alila regularly, you come in, you go out, you can leave on the same day. Here, until you eat the Maaser, in Yirtz Hashem, you'll have plenty of time to study at the feet of a Rav who will teach him to increase his, not only his Torah knowledge, but also his Yirtz Hashem. And this is a pretty amazing kind of concept that the Torah wanted to introduce into the daily life of the Jew, of the member of his people, his with a capital H, in his capital H land, that they should show up and come in close proximity with the Gedolei HaTorah in order to study Torah and Yerushalayim from them. And all this is relative to the need of the individual according to his midah, and it's all part of a divine plan to bring us to Yerushalayim in close proximity to the Gedolim, to the Kohanim, and to the Shoftim. I would like to spend a few more minutes at the end of the shiur, if we fast forward to the beginning of Perek Tesvav, to the mitzvah of Shemitah, but specifically what we're talking about here in this context in Parashas Re'eh is Shemitas Ksofim. The Torah says, Miket Sheva Shonim Tase Shemitah V'zeh Dvar HaShemitah. And the Torah says, Shamot Kol Baal Mashe Yodo Asher Yashiv Re'eh Lo Yigos Es Re'ehu V'yesachiv Ki Kora Shemitah LaShem. We'll just read these psukim and translate them first and foremost before we look in Yirtz Hashem into the Ramban and the concept of Prusbul. The pasuk says, at the end of 7 years, you shall make a release. If you call Shemitah is a release, and this is the law of the Shemitah. Every creditor, that means the malve, shall release his authority over what he has lent his fellow. He shall not press his fellow or his brother, for he, meaning with a capital H, Hashem, has proclaimed a release. And here the Torah says, Ki kara Shemitah LaShem. And the Ramban says the following, that there are two primary interpretations of the word miketz that opens up this section, this parasha. According to the first interpretation of the word miketz, and we'll see this in the opening presentation here in the Ramban, he says that the Torah is talking about a mitzvah in the seventh year itself. Namely, Shenasa Osa Shemitah, we should release that year from Charish Uvakotzir, from plowing and reaping. And this we find in Shmos Perikov Gimel, where it says, Vashvias Tishmetena Unitashta, that in the seventh year you should leave the land, relinquish it. So we see here that in Sefer Shmos, the word Shmot indicates leaving the land, as far leaving it alone, I guess you could say, in terms of produce, in terms of agriculture. Here too, the word Shemitah is used as a release, but not a relinquishing of debts, because that's going to be addressed in the next couple of psukim. But here in this opening pasuk, we're talking about a Shemitah of that's agricultural in nature. And that's what the Torah means by saying Taseh Shemitah here in Pasuk Aleph. Taseh Shemitah means that just like the Torah says, you make a Shabbos, you make a rest on Shabbos here too, you make a rest from agricultural labor, which means we are prohibited from sowing and pruning. And although it's already been mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, Berkhaf Hei, at the end of Sefer Vayikra, but here the Torah wants to add that it's called Shemitah Lashem, that the phrase Shemitah Lashem, which appears with regard to agricultural release, also is applicable to Hashmatas Ksafim, the release of debts. And that's what it means, Kikara Shemitah Lashem. It's called a Shemitah Lashem. And just like Shemitah Lashem applies to the land, so too Shemitah Lashem applies to the debts. And the word Miketz, here the Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra, is a reference to the beginning of the seventh year. So this, the Ramban says that this approach of the Ibn Ezra is supported by the Medagdikim, I guess those who know Digduk, grammar, because both the beginning and the end of something are called Katseh, says the Ramban. So Katseh means the extremity, whether it be the, you know, if you have an object that has two ends, there's the front and the back, so too here, with regard to a year, you have the beginning of the year. And that's what it means, Miketz. The Ramban is not so excited about the Ibn Ezra, and he says that according to his own opinion, the beginning of this period of 7 years, Kirosh, I'll quote the Ramban here, Kirosh Shavashonim Hu Ashana Rishona, Vehu Akatzeh Shenikra Behem Rosh. In this context, the word Miketz should refer to the first of the 7 years, Ve'ilu Omar Akosiv Miketz Ashana Ashvius Hoya Dvarav Nechonin. It would mean that the Ibn Ezra would make sense had the Torah says Miketz Hashana Shvius, which mean the beginning of the seventh year. But when it says Miketz Sheva Shonim, that would mean the extremity, in this case the end of the 7 year cycle. And therefore the Ramban says that the word Ketz here, Aldas Rabbi Sein Yisrochal Levacha, Miketz means Sofa Sheva, means at the end or the conclusion of the 7 year period. And the Torah here is speaking specifically of Shemitas Ksafim, of breaking up debts, as far as non-involvement in agricultural activity, that's not at the end of the 7th year, that includes the entire 7 years. As far as Shemitas Ksafim, the moment of Shemitas Ksafim is the end of the 7th year. V'omar misof kol sheva shonim animnim lachem, at the conclusion of every 7 year period that you count, Te'asu Tasu Shmita Sheyishmot Kol Bal Mashe Yado. You should make a release at the end, at the conclusion of every 7 years that are counted. By the way, this is a reflection of the Ramban's Shita that we have to count the years of the Shemitah. It's an actual counting. When the Ramban says, Misof kol sheva shonim animnim lochem, means we have to count them for the purpose of Shemitas Karka. And now, at the end of that counting, the conclusion of the 7 year period, we have the mitzvah of Shemitas Ksofim, in which we release the debts. And the Ramban says that Lochein Omru Shein Shvius Meshametis Ela B'Sofa, this is the sugya in Erechim that maintains that, let's see where the Gemara is, on Chav Ches Omid Beis, that Ein Shvius Meshametis Ela B'Sofa.
Ela Besofa.
The Ramban goes on to say, V'chein l'data miket sheva shonim b'moed shnas ha-shmit v'chag ha-sukos b'sof ha-sheva. And here he quotes the Gemara in Sota on Daf Mem Aleph that the Torah sets a time for the mitzvah of Hakel, and that is in Perek Lamed Aleph of Pasuk Dvarim. There too it's Kates, Miketz Sheva Shana, means at the end of the 7 year period, meaning after the Shemitah year is over, and then we celebrate Chag HaSukkos, that's when we mekayim the mitzvah of Hakel. El Shaketz HaNizkar Kan Hu Miyad. Here, when it says Kates, it's immediately at the end of the 7th year. We don't have to wait until Shavuos. Until Sukkos. Vaketz HaNizkar Shom Muflag, where's the word Haketz there, in the Pasuk Miketz Sheva Shanim, etc., is referring to something that's a little bit removed from the 7th year, meaning that you gather together the people not immediately at the conclusion of the 7th year, but 2 weeks later after the end of the 7th year, which means at the time of Sukkos. Ramban is Marif, but if you fast forward to the end of this presentation, the Ramban says in the last few lines here, the Efshal Lomar Ki Masha Omer Rabbi Hussein Zerman Levracha B'Miketz Sheva Shanim Ta'ase Shmita Meshametes Ela B'Sofa Shehu Medrash Mipnei Shelo Omer Hashona Hashviyas Ta'ase Shmita. What Chazal meant was, they were darshaning, why doesn't it say in the Pasuk Hashona Hashviyas Ta'ase Shmita? You should make a Shemitah release. Instead, it adds the word Miketz, Yirmos ki besofa sheva tasa Shemitah, Yosem and Aschol. That basically the Pasuk is trying to intimate that at the end of the 7th year you make a release, Yosem and Aschol, over and above the release that takes place at the beginning of the 7th year. Now, what does this mean? Uritzonam Beketz Hazeh Shehu Chutz Mimenu. What Chazal want to say with this interpretation, this Medrash, is that the release of dates of debts takes place outside the 7th year, meaning after its conclusion. And this is something that the Ramban had explained earlier, that according to this Chazal, we're talking about in this Pasuk the cessation of karka, of agricultural activity, which takes place during the entire 7th year. But with regard to the din of Shemitah's ksofim, kates means at the conclusion of the 7th year. Yochel adam litboa chovo b'yoma achron shel shnas ha-shemitah lo tishomet ad ha-layla. A person could claim his debt even on the very last day of Shavuos, and it doesn't effectuate the Shemitah's Ksofim until the night time. You know, it's until Rosh Hashanah, which is the first day of the 8th year. Shekach matzinu b'tosefta shekosvin pruzbul erev Rosh Hashanah shel motzoi Shavuos. That we could write the pruzbul even on the very last day of the year, erev Rosh Hashanah, of the 7th year, of the Shemitah year. And on the last day of the 7th year, which is the day before Rosh Hashanah, which will kick off the 8th year, we can set up the Pruzbul, and that will allow him to collect his debt despite the mitzvah of Shemitah. Pruzbul, of course, is a shtar with a certain harama to. In other words, it's sort of like finding a legal loophole. We can circumvent the cancellation of the loan by writing this pruzbul. So that is a shita that we find in the Tosefta. That's what the Ramban quotes here at the end here. Kei matzina b'Tosefta. And that Tosef, which is in the 8th Perek of Shvius, allows us to write the Prusbal on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah meaning of the 8th year. And the Girsan Tosefta that we have is Kosvinal of Prusbal, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shal Shvius. The Gon has a different Girsa. His Girsa in the Tosefta is Motsoi Shvius, which would reflect this Ramban, that you can actually write the Prusbal on Erev Rosh Hashanah of the 7th year going into the 8th year. The Rosh, on the other hand, in Gittin, in the 4th Perek, has our gears, so that Kosim Prusbal, the Erev Rosh Hashanah Shal Shvius, meaning at the very beginning of Shnas HaShvius, the Afal Gav de Shvius, Enim Shemetz El Besof, Vilochi Ein Kosim Prusbal. So even though the law of Shemitah goes into effect only at the end of the 7th year, nevertheless we write the Prusbal according to this Girsa and Tosef at the beginning of the 7th year, says the Rosh, V'hodi ein kosvin Prusbal b'shvius, afal pisha'enim shametes ela b'sofa, why don't we write the Prusbal during Shvius, since it only has to take effect at the end of Shvius, Nira lefar shatam al piya mikros miketz sheva shonim tas eshmita v'zed dvar eshmita shmot kol bal mashi yodo is mipashti dekro yalfin in the ein Shvius mishametes el besofa tichsiv miketz sheva shonim tas eshmita v'zed dvar eshmita sheino el besof sheva shmot kol bal mashi yodo. Avol miyad kishischila shnas hashmita, with the inception of the 7th year, ein bezin is kokim ligvos shum chov. Bezin is not interested at this point in collecting any chov for gamamal v'biatzvo ein lo ligos halove. D'chsiv lo ligos re'eu v'yasochiv ki kara shmita l'Hashem. So from the very beginning of the shmita, lo yigos, he's not going to collect his chov. Says the Rosh, avolim yifra halove miatzmo, but the law is that although the malve is not allowed to press the love and demand payment, nevertheless the love can take the initiative and pay back the chov. Ein tzorich lomar mishamet ani. And there's no obligation on the malva to say, I release you from the chov. The malva's allowed to collect the payment for the debt. Kemosha ein is kokim ligvos hachov, kach ein is kokim ligvos prusbul miyad kshenichnasa shvius. Since there's no absolute shmita to release the lova from his debt, his obligation to pay the debt until the end of the year, therefore we're not going to write a prusbul at the very beginning of Shvius. The Beis Yosef writes that the Rambam in Hilchos Shvius Perek Tes, who says Ein Shvius Meshametes Ksofel B'Sof L'Ficha Alovis Chaver B'Shvius Atzma Gova Chova Kol Hashonik Shetishka Chava B'Leil Rosh Hashonish Shal Motzoi Shvius Ovad Achov, with the nightfall of Rosh Hashanah the 8th year, the Chov is cancelled. Hareisha Kosef Shechov Shalove Chov Shehilva B'Shvius Gova Kol Shana Mashma Afilu Al Yedei Bezdin, and therefore there is a possibility of being Meshamet the Chov if the Lova borrowed money during Shvius. I'm sorry, of collecting the Chov, I meant to say, if the Lova borrowed the money during Shvius. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, Hare Shekosav Shechov Shalova B'Shvius Gova Kol Shmashma Afilu Al Yedei Bezdin, and therefore it makes sense that there could be a Prusbal at the beginning of the 7th year. The Rambam Shita is in fact that there's no lav, there's no violation of lo yigos during the year of Shvius. That the Rambam is mefurish in Perek Tes Halacha Al Mitzvah Lishamed Amal B'Shvius Nemeshmod Kol Bal Mashi Yodo Vatoveh Chov Sholov Shvius. The Rambam says that if he collects the chov after the year of Shvius, then and only then Avraham Losa Seshenemar Lo Yigos Reyaves Achiv. According to the Rambam, then there would seem to be no need or no purpose in writing a Prusbul at the beginning of the seventh year, the way the Rosh has it in his Gears in the Tosefta, because there's no law of lo yigos and no violation of collecting the chov during the course of the entire seventh year. So what's the purpose of creating a Prusbul at the beginning of the seventh year? The Rambam, in that case, is arguing with the Rosh, and he would probably reflect the girsa of the Ramban in the Tosefta, which is that kosvinal of Prusbul Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Motzai Shvius, since this is no lav lo yigos during Shvius itself, there's no point in writing a Prusbul until Motzai Shvius, meaning Motzai the seventh year, going into the eighth year. I would like to read with you a pasuk in Perek Tesvav, here in Parashas Re'eh, Pasuk Tesvav, and there the Torah says, okay, let's read the pasuk inside.
V'hoya ki yomar eilecha lo etze me'imach ki ahevcha vesbeisecha ki tovlo imach.
This is the parasha of Eved Nirtza. So as far as Shvius is concerned, although there's a lot more to discuss here in terms of the machlokas between the Ramban and the Rosh, and in terms of the possibility of writing a Prusbul at the beginning of the seventh year, and meaning that the Malv is not allowed to collect his chov and initiate the process of Hagosa at the beginning of the seventh year, according to the Rosh, as opposed to Ramban, there's a lot more to say. But just in terms of Eved Nirtza, the Pasuk says, again, as we just read it, Ki Tovlo Imach, that this Eved feels that, you know, life was good as an Eved. Ahevcha v'espesach ki tovlo imach. Everything was very enjoyable. And the Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin will give us an elaboration of this concept of ki tovlo imach. On Daf Chaf, it says the following. The Gemara says, let's open it up. Imach. Imach b'machal v'imach b'mishteh. Shalote ata ochel pas nekir vuochel pas kibar ata shose yain yoshin vushase yain chodosh ata yoshin al gabi muchin vuhu yoshin al gabi hateven mikan omru kolakone eved ivri kikone adam li atzmo. It means you have to share with him the best of the best, whether it's the best food, the best wine, the best place to sleep, the conditions are excellent. And this becomes an obligation incumbent upon the master vis-a-vis his Eved, that because he's obligated to feed the Eved and to give him clothing and a place to sleep, the Torah says, Ki tovlo imach, to give us a shear. How good, how much mizonos does he have to give in terms of the quality of the mizonos? And the answer is he has to give the same amount he would allow for himself, that the master would eat or sleep in that way himself. This is perhaps not a mitzvah incumbent upon the Adon. This is his obligation within the financial framework or context of an Eved, of an Adon-Eved relationship. And the Gemara there in Masechta Kedushin speaks about Giron Kesef. Let's say the Eved goes out before he finishes his full six year stint as an Eved. And the Gemara's language is the Akil Rachmana Legabe. In other words, with regard to the Eved, the Torah was more lenient. And it seems to be that this leniency, which reflects itself in the laws of Giron Kesef, also expresses itself in terms of Lotu ki tov lo imach, that Akil Rachman legabe, the Torah expresses a kula with regard to the Eved. The concept of a kula vis-a-vis the Eved is within the framework of the Chiyuvei Ha'adam as an adon, we're not talking about a separate moral obligation incumbent upon the master. We're talking about understanding the nature of the financial agreement and the framework of avdus. Within that framework of the avdus, the adon has certain chiyuvim, one of which is lashvoslo b'machal b'mishta v'ksus u'b'madar, and that's derived from this pasuk latuv lo imach. And it's very interesting that the word imach here reverberates in a different context. The famous principle of Rabbi Akiva Bar Metzia Samach Beis, v'chei achicha imach chayecha kod min l'chai chavercha. And it would seem that the word imach in the context of v'chei achicha imach in Rabbi Akiva's frame of reference is antithetical to the pasuk here in the context of an Eved Ivri, the ki tovlo imach, because here tovlo imach means that you cannot, you the master, if you only have one pill, you have to give it to the Eved. You don't apply the principle of Chayecha Kodmin L'Chay Chavercha. But again, if we were talking about a mitzvah, a moral obligation, which the Torah imposed on the Adon, like the moral obligation that one has to save his fellow Jew, V'Chayechich Imach, then you would say that that moral obligation does not require me to give the Eved what I would want for myself, because we would apply the principle of Rabbi Akiva, v'cheichich imach chayecha kod min l'chai chavercha. But if we're talking about the framework and the shear of mizonos, that's obligatory, incumbent upon the Adon within the framework of the monetary relationship, then we understand that the Adon has to give the Eved exactly the shear that he would take for himself. This has nothing to do with chayecha kod min l'chai chavercha. We're not talking about a moral obligation, an issue of triage of what to do if we only have this much. So the shear of mizonos and ksus and madar is a reflection of the obligation and the arrangement between the Adon and the Eved. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodim Per Gimel also codifies an obligation to support the family members of the Eved. The Adon has to support the wife of the Eved, the children of the Eved. Here we don't find that the shear is you have to give to the wife or to the children of the Eved exactly what you would take for yourself. If you only had one pillow, Mr. Adon, you would have to give it to the wife of the Eved. That we don't find. That extent, we don't find in Halacha. So the Rambam Perek Aleph, with regard to the obligation incumbent upon the Adon, doesn't mention the wife of the Eved. So if we read the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes Milchas Avodim, which is here in Sefer Kinyan, he writes, Kol Eved Ivri Om Ivriya Chai Vodim Lashvoson Elov V'machal B'mishta B'ksus U'Mador Shenemar Kitov Lo Imach Lo tehei ata ochel pas nakiya v'ochel pas kibur, etc., etc. The Ram doesn't mention a word about eshes ha'eved. If you fast forward to Perek Gimel, kol eved ivri harei ha'don chayov mzonos ishto, etc., etc. The Rambam doesn't reiterate this halacha of chayov lehashvoso, which we saw here, lashvoso elov, which we saw here in Perek Aleph. So unless you assume that in Perek Gimel he's meaning to refer you back to Perek Aleph, it would seem that this Chiyuv Lashvoso, which is derived from our parasha here in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Tesvav, that's limited to the Chiyuv of the Adon vis-a-vis the Eved himself. It's not to be extended to the Isha of the Eved. The Gemara itself that we mentioned in Kedushin Daf Chaf spells out Michael Mishtev and Modar. The Rambam, it's Ksus here in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. It's not clear what's the source of the Rambam. I mean, the Gemara Kedushin speaks about the Chiyuv of Mizonos on the Adon and even to the Isha of the Eved. But it doesn't seem to spell out ksus. And the Ramban here adds a pretty revolutionary idea in order to shed light on this. Where does ksus come from? He says, Vanira bi'enai, This is the Ramban back in Shmos Chaf Aleph. Shehu ha'adon nichnas b'makom ha'baal. In other words, since the baal of this isha, who's the eved, of course, no longer is capable of supporting the isha, insofar as he's an eved now, and all his work is for the adon now, so to speak, steps into the shoes of the eved in order to fulfill the responsibility of the eved vis-a-vis his wife. Ki chamla ha-Torah la isha v'abonim. The Torah had compassion on the wife and the children of this eved, shechayim tluyim lem mineget, mitzapim li dei haba. They are totally dependent for their very life sustenance on their husband. The atonimkar, now that he's sold, yovdu b'tzurosam, they'll be lost in their tzaros. V'lachen tzivas ha'adon asher hu lokech ma'isi yodov lios lahem b'mkomo. So now that the Adon is taking away from them the source of their support, he now becomes their only support or source of support. In other words, it comes out that whatever a Baal is mechuyav to give his wife, which includes not only mizonos and Madar, a place to live and food to eat, but also it entails ksus, clothing to wear, chayev ha'adon li eishes ha'avid. However, now the adon becomes obligated to give the wife of the eved because he now steps into the shoes of the eved himself, and this is the chemel of the Torah on the Yishuv Banan. Is memela the adon is chayev in ksus vis-a-vis this family because he picks up all the obligations of the eved as a baal, including ksus. Okay, we'll stop here.